John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we ask for your presence here. I pray you speak to each heart that's here this morning. Be with those ones that were unable to be with us today. Lord, whatever the reason, Lord, I pray you help them if they're sick, Lord, and in any way, and whatever the need may be, Lord, meet that need. And Lord, we all have a need here today. Lord, we have a spiritual need. We have a need to draw closer to you. Lord, we had a need to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, I pray you answer this prayer. Lord, that you move among us today, fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and we understand your word better, be more like you. We pray for that one that may be here lost today. Lord, I pray that they'll see their need, call on your name, be saved before it is eternally too late. But we know you're still on the throne, Lord. We know you still work. And Lord, so we ask you to do a work here today and put it all before you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, What to Do with Sin. What to Do with Sin. Last week, I had spoke about us having an enemy. One of the enemies, of course, that we have is Satan. I think that's what I talked on mostly last week, and how there's an enemy. Satan's an enemy to the lost. He doesn't desire that anybody be saved. That he's an enemy to save people. He desires to get our testimony. He desires to discourage us. He desires to get us to a point where we're not really not any use to God. That he's an enemy to the church. He doesn't want us to have fellowship. He doesn't want us to have witness. He doesn't want us to be a light in the community where we are. A lot of things that Satan does to the church. And so today I want to talk to you about another enemy. And this enemy is sin. Of course, John illustrated the theme here very well by using a contrast between light and darkness. He also used a contrast between saying and doing, or you could put talking and walking there for that. He contrasted that, and there's a difference. And he talked about the difference between walking in darkness and walking in light. You know, there's a lot of difference there. I said Sunday night, I preached the message Sunday night and talk about a believer's walk. And walk, the word walk implies progress. That means, you know, when we're walking, I mean, unless you're walking backwards, I guess that's not progress. But normal walk, you know, a step of faith and then another step, and that constitutes a walk. And as you walk, that means progress, that you're going and you're walking in the light. To walk in the light, you'd have to be walking in the direction that God would have us to walk in. Another, Jesus Christ is the light. You know, so we have to be in Christ, and Christ in us. And so we walk in that light. You know, we don't like to be out in the dark. Years ago, I had an illustration of, you know, I like to go hunting. And I went, my brother-in-law had said, man, I saw a bear in such and such a place down in Shenandoah County. And back in those days, man, we didn't take packs with all kind of equipment and everything in them. You know, I had the little ever-ready workhorse flashlight about that big. You know, I'd stick it in my back pocket, didn't have nothing else, no compass, no GPS, none of that junk you think you got to have today. And, man, I got up there, and somehow during the course of the day, I'd set on my light, and my light had come on in my pocket, and I didn't know it. And, man, I sat right there, and I was looking for this bear, and we were deer hunting, too, and some deer came in there behind me. Of course, I stayed there. It was pitch dark, way up on the mountain somewhere, no path, no trail, no nothing, you know, just in the middle of the woods. Buddy, and I said, well, time to go. It was bow hunting. Got my bow up. Got my little ever-ready workhorse flashlight out. It looked like a match right after you blow it out. You know, when it's got that little red glow, that's about all that it had. Man, I made a beeline. I probably scattered equipment and stuff from my bow all the way down the mountain. I was going down through the log. I wanted to get to at least get to my brother-in-law, because I knew his light was working. And there's a big rock we always met at. He said, I'll see you at the rock, see you at the rock. Kind of ironic, isn't it? See you at the rock. Huh? Jesus Christ, the rock? That's a good illustration. So I'll see you at the rock. It's a big rock. It's about as big as this area up here. We'd sit on it waiting for each other. Man, I was tearing down through that mountain. No light. Knew there was a bear around. And my brother-in-law was down there, and I saw him. He started flashing his light. He started turning it on. Now, speaking of a rock, I got one right here on the floor. Look at that. Ask and you shall receive. there was he turned his light on, though. Man, I was happy to see that light. Now, guess which way I went? I went to the light. I went to the light, buddy. I went down there, and he was flashing that thing, let me know he was down there, and I was so happy to see him. I said, look, man, my old workhorse has died, and I didn't have any lights. And so, I mean, you know, we should be, naturally, when we think there's danger or there's a fear of some kind, like getting lost or something like that, a lot of good illustrations in that story. We want to go to the light. And so when you walk in the light, you can see. And I'll talk to you about that just a few minutes. But, you know, when we sin, of course, sin is related to darkness. And when we sin, it's not simply an outward disobedience, but it's an inner rebellion or desire. That's one of the essences of sin. You know what? When we actually commit an act of sin, That's the result of an inner rebellion or desire. You know, I was sharing with the church Wednesday night about one of our nephews had called, and he's kind of got on fire for God, and he called and he knew that I used to have a kind of a wilder life than I have now, and he wanted to just know about when I got saved and called the ministry and everything, because he thought that his life kind of lined up with mine. And he said, you know, he made this one statement. I thought it was great, and I shared it this morning and Wednesday night. Shared this morning with the Sunday school class, but he said, you know, I am committed to obedience. He said, I've committed myself to obedience. I want to obey God. And you know, that's something I think that's a key thing that we see, you know, because, and we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, when we sin, you know, we've got to do something to justify it, but what we're actually doing is we're saying, I desire this one thing. Something I can't do, shouldn't do, something I can't have or shouldn't have. I desire that more than I desire being obedient to God. Now, man, that's kind of a profound thought. You know, if you really start thinking about it, you're getting ready to commit a sinful act or not do something you should do, which would be sin, and you start getting ready to do that, and you're thinking, you know, if you start really breaking it down, you know what? I'm desiring this more than I'm desiring being obedient to God. That's pretty weighty stuff. I mean, you know, then it makes you start wondering. Ain't no wonder so many people doubt their salvations. And there's a lot of people that says or thinks they're saved and not. Because, you know, if you start weighing that out, boy, do I desire to be obedient to God because I love God? Or do I really just desire or love myself in my own selfishness? Do I desire to do my own thing more than I do desire or that commitment to obedience that our nephew was talking about? That's something to think about. Lawlessness or independence of the law, that is the essence of sin. See, people, a lot of times you hear this statement right here, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. We all feel like that sometimes, don't you? Huh? I don't want anybody telling me what to do. You don't want your spouse telling you what to do. You don't want your boss telling you what to do, although if you don't do what the boss tells you to do, your paycheck be a little bit weak on the end of the road. But we that's just it. I mean, there's kind of a something in us. There's a rebellious spirit. Now, we got the old nature still there, and I'll talk about it in a second. But there's something in us that wants to do our own thing, doesn't it? I mean, we don't want anybody telling us what to do, and we get kind of bristled up when somebody does a lot of times. But that independence, and particularly the independence from God, that's the essence of sin. An independent life, independent from God, cannot be walking with God. See, verse 2. And you know, the fact that Christians sin, that bothers some people. I mean, I understand it. You know, I know that we sin. You know, sometimes we do. You know, I understand that. It bothers a lot of people, but they forget, and what they forget is that receiving the new nature does not eliminate the old nature that we're born with. And no amount of self-discipline or man-made rules and regulations can control that old nature. You know, you've got to walk in the light, and you've got to be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible tells us, be ye filled with the Spirit, which means it doesn't naturally happen. That's something you have to desire and you have to ask for. I started every time I pray. Now, I never used to do this, dumb as a rock. I never used to ask God to fill me with the Spirit. And every time I pray, I ask God for that. Fill me with the Spirit. You know, you have not because you ask not. Now, there's some stuff that goes along with it, you know, repentance and obedience, and, you know, God's not going to listen, because if you're walking in darkness, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God. God, you know, we've got to get in the light, I mean, for that to take place. But I ask God to fill me with His Spirit. We all have to deal with sin. You can't say, I'm not going to deal with sin. No, you're going to deal with it. You'll deal with it one way or another. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. The number one thing you can do with sin, and a lot of times we do, is you can try to cover it up. You can try to cover sin up. Listen, the Bible, and it's clear in the text that we read, that when God saved us, He called us from darkness to light. Now, those that sin doesn't like light, and those that sin do not like light. You ever notice why a lot of crimes are committed at night? Why? Because, see, you can hide. See, we like darkness. And we can hide when things, when we want to do something, we don't want people to see. Bandits or whatever, they put masks on. They don't want anybody to see who they are. You'll see people that have been convicted of crimes and they come out of courthouses and they put their coats up when the TV cameras are there because they don't want people to see their face, whether it's shame or whatever it may be, because of the sin they've committed. So we like to do things in darkness. But one of the things that light does, because light reveals our true nature. Now, I think, you know, I've been around and I've been in different denominations and different. I had a little joke with a guy. I told him Wednesday night, but I can't remember. We met these guys from Kentucky when we were out on our elk hunting trip in Colorado. They were Christian fellows. And they were Methodists. And I was kidding around. The guy said, yeah, we're Methodists. I said, yeah, I used to be a Methodist. So then I got saved. and the guy, he started laughing, you know. He said, yeah. I said, I know. And we started kidding around him with it, you know. So the other day, I killed a deer, and I sent a picture to him. And it was this buck, and got a little story with it. And he texted me back. He said, that ain't a bad deer for a Baptist. I said, yeah, but it must have been a Methodist deer because it's dead. Oh, man. He come back, and he said, yeah, he said, I've been in them churches too. He said, I've been in them too. It was just good-natured fun. They was good guys. Rick and Randy met them, and Rick's brother. They was nice guys, man. They was. We were kidding around about that. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, our true nature, you know, light, it reveals that to us. And a lot of people don't like, what made me think of that was this. You know, a lot of people, and I've been around different places, and you know, not every place you go to will preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth to you. You know, it can get pretty watered down a lot of times. And people don't like it. Listen, there's people that would not sit under, and I don't know that I'm the most radical or harshest preacher. I'm sure some messages are worse than others or better than others, however you want to look at that. I just tell it like it is, you know, try to. And there's a lot of people who won't sit under that kind of preaching. Huh? Man, you start naming sin and you start getting on their toes, buddy, and they pack up and go. I've had visitors come in here and I can tell by the look on their face, they are not coming back. You know, everybody else bobbing their head and grinning, man, and they just sitting there looking like, boy, if I could get out of here now without making a scene, I'd get. I started to stop the service one time and say, yeah, if you want to go ahead. You know? Go ahead, it won't bother us. But you know, they won't sit because, see, people don't want to know the truth, man. You know, a lot of people, maybe you don't look in the mirror because you don't want to see how bad you look. You know, I mean, that's you looking in the Word of God. It reveals things to us, man. It's telling us that, you know, and there's a purpose for it. I mean, God's got a purpose for it. It's repentance. But another thing that light does, though, you know, you go up years ago. I told one of the things. They said, well, if there's one thing that people don't know about, maybe you and your wife years ago. Sherry and I, we were scuba divers when we were young. She was a scuba diver when I met her, and I always wanted to do. It was on my bucket list. Along with jumping out of an airplane, but I have since scratched that one off the bucket list. I got smarter when I got older. I said, nah, it's all right. I ain't jumping out of no airplane. But we did go, we went diving. We went down there. And the cool thing about it, you want to go diving, and there's all kind of stuff to that. But a lot of times people want to go on what they call really deep water dives, and you got to mess around with decompression and all that, and it's kind of crazy. But there ain't nothing down there. Man, you get down there 100 feet, it's just black. It's sand, and that's it. Every now and then you might see some kind of big, something you probably don't want to see. But all the stuff that looks cool and real pretty is up near the surface in the top 30 feet of water. Once you start going past 30, it starts getting less and less. You know why? Because the light produces growth. It's like you see all them things on TV underwater, them real pretty purple fans and all. You don't see that at 100 feet. You see that in 30 feet of water, where the light gets through. And the clearer the water, the more apt you know, the reefs and everything, it looks neat. It produces growth and beauty. That's what the light, that's what the Word of God is. Listen, man, if you got an old, like we talk about diseases and all that, man, I'll tell you what I said, instead of a church van, we need an ambulance probably with all the sicknesses and things that people get. But, you know, if you got something wrong, like, I don't, you know, if you get like a skin cancer or something, you get a little bad place on your hand or wherever you might, what do? You go, they cut that out. All right, what happens is we look at the Word of God and light reveals what's wrong in our life. What's God intending? God wants us to cut that out. Get it out of our life, and that produces beauty. It reveals the ugliness, but it will produce growth and beauty. But darkness and light can't exist in the same place. If we walk in the light, which is Jesus Christ, listen, sin has to go. You can't, listen, we try, I know the Christian life, I've been through the whole nine yards, I've been over there, sitting on them pews, looking this way. I've been a new Christian, I've been a fence straddler, I've been running with the eagles one day and flying with the vultures or the turkeys or whatever you want to call it the next day. I mean, I've tried to straddle the fence and try to be real Christian looking and real spiritual, and then run out there with the world and all that. I'm going to tell you something, it don't work. Because I'm going to tell you what, where you're not faking it when you're running with the world, but you are faking it when you get in the house of God. You get with the Christians, man. You can't. So what happens is, if you're going to walk in the light, sin's got to go. You got to get it out of your life. You just got to, you know, you got to. And listen, God will give you the power if you're saved. I mean, you don't have to do it on your own and all that. God gives you the power to get sin out of your life. And He takes care of it. But, you know, there's got to be a desire. I mean, you've got to want this thing to happen. And so, listen, we try to cover it, but if we hold on to sin, the light goes. If we walk in the light, sin's got to go, and there's no middle ground with that. And the problem, I think, in Christianity today is too many people are trying to get in the middle ground. They think they can do both, and you can't. You can't. It's going to be a mediocre Christian life at best. So how do we try to cover sin? Number one thing we try to cover sin is we lie to others. See, we want folks to think we're real spiritual. You know, we always use Andy Griffith episodes for illustrations a lot of times because we know them all by heart. We watch them. Paul's kind of a trivia guy on that. But there's one episode where they're all, Barney got mad about somebody that was in the, and the guy happened to be in the church, and he said, "Do you ever see old so-and-so?" He said, "He don't even know." He said, "We're singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. He don't even know the word." He's trying to point out how he wasn't a very spiritual person because he didn't know the words to it. But you know, we do sometimes. See, we get our big old Bibles. You can get a bigger one. I used to have a large print, which is bigger than this. And you know, we get all night looking nice and get our suits on, boy. And we can say brother this and brother that. And we can amen. We can sit in the front row. We can look real good. Throw a big wad of cash in the offering plate, which would be fine. And look real good. And try to hide, you know, sometimes some of the, now, I'm probably afraid to say it. I probably shouldn't say it. Maybe I'm not even going to say it. I was going to say the one that shouts amen the loudest may be the one trying to cover up the most sin, but now y'all never say amen. Huh? It's like trying to get an altar call after you preach about adultery. You know, you can't get nobody down to the altar after that, you know. Everybody thinks they're guilty, right? Somebody will think they're guilty. But you know, sometimes, you know, we try to lie about our lives to make it appear more favorable. We lie to ourselves. And this is the worst thing yet. I think we're so guilty as Christians of lying to ourselves. Lying to ourselves. Remember they had an advertisement on TV several years ago of, you know, God forbid that I mention this, but I think it was a beer commercial, if I'm not sure, but it was funny. And old Cedric the Entertainer was on there, and the music started playing. He was dancing. His girlfriend had gone into a porta potty. It happened to be sitting right on the side of a cliff, on the side of a thing that rolled down. And he was dancing around, and he kind of gives it a little bump, and there it goes. She's in there, and the thing rolls on down. And you can imagine, right? Porta potty rolling down there. She's all dressed up. She gets out. He goes, "It ain't that bad." No, I guarantee you it was bad. I guarantee you as many times it rolled over, it was bad. But this is what happens. See, what we do, we lie to ourselves while we're living in sin and yet convince ourselves it's not that bad. See, because there's no big little sin. You know, all sin is walking in darkness. Amen. And you can't walk in the light. It's just all sin. It's bad. And we convince ourselves with all kind of crazy things. We'll even get spiritual on that issue right there. And we'll say, well, you know, God is love, and therefore, so God won't judge me. It's not because God loves me so much. And I know this isn't as bad as, like, look at all this wicked stuff in the paper. It's not that bad. So we really lie to ourselves. And we tell ourselves, listen, that our relationship with the Lord is fine. Now, you know, if we got to be real honest with ourselves, couldn't all of us admit that we could probably walk a little closer to the Lord than we're walking today? Huh? Wouldn't that be? Maybe everybody all just raise your hand that feels that way. Don't that just make you feel better? Huh? We could walk a little closer to the Lord than we do. That's an admittance right there. Some of you struggled with that. Huh? Like this right here. Make sure it don't stick up above that seat in front of you. Somebody else see it. Huh? It's the truth. You know, we could walk. So our relationship with the Lord, even though it may be okay, I said maybe, it's probably the reality is it could be a lot better. And it's not, God's not the problem. It's us. We're the problem. And so we've lied to ourselves. You know, we don't need a lot of light to see big things. I mean, I can go outside in pitch black night and walk around, and I can probably see my house. Now, I might not see that stump that's on the ground there or that snake on the ground on the way to the house, and I can see. So we don't need a lot of light to see big things. And this is where our problem is. See, we see the big stuff. Most of us here haven't murdered anybody that I know of. Some of you kind of wonder about it, but some of you probably felt like murdering somebody. But most of us here, you know, we're not committing a big sin. We're not murdering. We're not raping. We're not, robbing people. We're not doing those things. Maybe not even using foul language, and you shouldn't use foul language. I wrote that down for some reason. But we don't need a lot of light to see that. We just know. But we need a lot of light to see those so-called smaller sins that a lot of us are guilty of, but we cover them up, and we have the bad habit, of seeing those sins in other people, our brothers and sisters, but we don't see them in ourselves. Attitude problems, murmuring, negative spirit, anger, discontent, unforgiveness. What about those? Listen, man, you got to have some light to see them. You got to have light to see them. They're not as big as a house, in a way. But you got to get some light. Man, I tell you, some people, they get to church, man, I wonder if they didn't sit on a tack the whole time they were driving here. Huh? Because when they get out, man, I mean, they got some problems when they get here to church. Amen? That's a good amen point right there. If we lie to others and then we lie to ourselves, it's not long until, guess what, we start believing our own lies. We start believing our own lies, which leads us to the very next step, and that is lying to God. Or really, and listen, you can't lie to God, but we try. You can't lie to God, but you try. And now we actually, look what it says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, God, a liar, and His Word is not in us. See, a lot of times what we do is we apply God's Word to others but not ourselves. You know the story in the Bible about we're looking at the mote in our brother's eye, but we don't see the beam in our own eye. Because we've lied to ourselves, back to lying to ourselves, now we're lying to God. There's no conviction in our hearts by the preaching of the Word. And when Christians reach this level, they're usually highly critical of other Christians, but resist applying the Word to themselves. And the result of that is a Christian walking in darkness. The results of a Christian walking in darkness are these. Number one, look what it says in verse 6, back up to verse 6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Do not the truth. That means that we quit applying the truth to our life. That means we stop doing the truth. And therefore we turn the truth into a lie. Another result of walking in darkness is we lose the blessings of the Bible. In other words, and that works in several areas. Number one, we can't read the Word and profit from it while walking in darkness. You know what happens when you start reading the Word and you don't profit from it? You quit reading it. You just quit reading it. Or it's a superficial because you want to appear holier than you actually are. You want to appear spiritual, so you got the Bible, the neighbors are coming over. Make sure you throw that big King James up on the kitchen table or on the coffee table. Get it open somewhere. Maybe like, you know, get some dirt on your finger and stick it on there like you've been looking at it. Spill your coffee on there. You superficially look at the Word and say, well, you know, I know I'm supposed to read the Word. All right, got it. Yep, read a whole chapter today. See, it's not how much you read, it's what you get out of it. But what we do is we superficially blow through reading the Bible so that we can say that we read the Bible. And maybe it's not even, listen, maybe it's not even to impress somebody else, but it helps you in that lie you're telling yourself that you're a spiritual person because you read the Bible today. You know, it helps you with lying to yourself. Yeah, I read the Bible. You know, if nothing happens, it ain't my fault. You know, God should have shot a little light in there somewhere. You know, that's what we do. We're not so much worried about maybe the others, but we do worry about convincing ourselves still. And so you can't read the Word and profit from it by walking in darkness. And then we lose fellowship with God and God's people. See, look what it said. I read verse 6 already just a second ago. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But then it says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It makes me wonder about them fellowship dinners when a bunch of people blast off and don't stay for dinner. It says, we have fellowship one with another if we're walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We lose fellowship with God and God's people. Now see, God speaks to us in a lot of ways. He speaks to us through reading His Word. He speaks to us in prayer, although most of the time in prayer we're talking to God and we're not listening to God. But our prayer life becomes empty. Now listen, man, this is really, these next couple of little things I'm going to say right here, this is really going to hit the nail on the head with a lot of Christian folks. It applies here. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. I'm just going to ask this question, and you know, you answer it to yourself. But how many of you could say, you know, my prayer life's pretty empty? Kind of just a superficial thing. Just kind of a routine that I go through because I know I'm supposed to pray. And it can be empty when you're really praying hard. When it's just a 911 call to God, we can get pretty serious with a 911 call to God, but that's all we have to say. I read something this morning. I couldn't tell that I forgot. I'm going to try to write it down when I go home. I read it in my devotional book, but it talked about when our prayer life is really concerned usually with us, not with God. And there was one other thing in the middle, and I forgot what it was. You must have read it too, honey. There, prayer life. Prayer is really about ourselves. The next thing is about something. And worship, when we get to worship, it's about God. Amen. It's about God. And so a lot of times, really, if we'd be honest with ourselves, a lot of people say, you know, my prayer life's pretty empty, really. And, you know, if you want to know if your prayer life's empty, just list what you're praying about. Wednesday night prayer meeting at church, it's all about sickness, disease. Very little about spiritual power. Very little about forgiveness of sin. Very little about our lost loved ones. Very little. It's all about it. And the way it's going nowadays, every time I turn around, it's a hospital visit. It's somebody in the hospital. And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for those things, but that's not the limit of it. Listen, the only reason Jesus healed people is just so He could get to talk to them about their salvation. The main gist of Jesus' mission, He came to seek and to save that which was lost, not that which was sick. And He didn't heal everybody. I was reading the other day about that fellow that was laying at the pool of Bethesda. There was tons of sick people there. He only healed one of them. He only healed one guy. There was tons of people. Listen, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We don't pray about that stuff very often. We got an empty prayer life. Worship becomes dull and routine. That's, you know, you're here and I appreciate it. But I don't know where your heart's at and I don't know where your head's at. You know, and you can get into a routine of just, you know, you're just such, we're creatures of habit. We can get in the habit of doing anything. And we can get in the habit of just going to church, and all we're interested in when we get here is what time is the preacher going to quit? Yeah, I know it's 5 after 12. I'm sorry, I'm not done. Huh? We're worried about what time we're going to get out. It's just a routine. We wanted everything just cut and dried and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that can happen to us. We need to be honest with and sincere with ourselves and with God. When a person uses all his energy in pretending he has nothing left for living. And then another thing you can lose when you walk in darkness, you lose character. The process begins with telling lies and ends up with the person becoming a liar. No longer a liar because he tells lies, now tells lies because he is a liar. God said in Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." Listen, man, God's not saying that he knows that we sin. The thing is getting honest about it and admitting it. Admitting that we're sinners and confessing those sins. But see, we've lied to ourselves so long, we almost think we don't have any sins. Man alive, we get right down to it on prayer meeting. I don't think you got to tell everybody what your sins are, but we get down to praying, and if we just started dealing with our sins, we'd never get to the sick people. Huh? We'd never get to physical conditions. We'd still be on spiritual issues when it was past time to go. And that's when, I'll tell you what, all revivals. You know, revivals, and we've read about them, and you've read about them over and over and over again. And big revivals, it all started when some people got praying. And man, there was meetings, and one guy, he tried to stop it to end the thing, and nobody would end it. They kept praying and praying and praying. And everybody sits around today, and Christians say, "Well, what were they praying about, preacher? What were they praying about?" I'll tell you what they were doing. They were confessing their sin. Huh? That, you know, the sweet hour of prayer at the prayer advance. Well, what are we going to pray about for an hour? You wouldn't get nowhere near being done with your prayer life if you just dealt with your sin. You never get past that point right there. If you were honest. If you were honest. Because we got all those little petty things we stick off to one side. Amen. And the next, man, I'm only on point number two. Confess our sins. In verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confess is more than just simply admitting. The word actually means to say the same thing about. In other words, to say the same thing about our sin that God says. To say the same thing about that. You know, sometimes we this is where we mess up. We call sins failures and transgressions and wrongdoings instead of just calling it sin. And it's not, you know, we pray like this. Well, Lord, if I have sinned, see, you already have messed up. It's not if I have sinned. No, you sin. You know, because if we say we have no sin, we made him a liar. So we don't say if we sin, it's I've sinned. Or we say this, we say, if we, you get one person, if we have sinned. Listen, let's just get real with it. I have sinned. Not if and not we, but I have sinned. I have sinned. And that's when you're getting down to brass tacks. Name what it is. Hatred, lies, unforgiveness, unloving, murmuring, whatever the problem is. God's promised. He said He'd forgive us. But you got to confess. You know, some people use this verse to go on in sin because they know God will forgive them. You know, a lot of people, Christians, get the wrong idea because of the grace of God. Well, I've sinned. Well, I can go on in sin. But I want you to think about this. What did it cost God to forgive your sin? It cost His Son. It cost His Son. You know, forgiveness, this forgiveness thing isn't some cheap little trick that God performs just because we ask God to forgive us of our sin and He forgives us. No, there was a price. It cost something. It cost God His only begotten Son. And God's faithful to that promise because Jesus Christ died for our sins and paid the penalty for you and I. When we sin against God, listen, when we sin against a faithful and loving God. When do we confess? Immediately. As soon as we discover that we're sinners. Point number 3, we can conquer sin. I didn't read this verse. 1 John 2, just right down below where we're at. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He says, I write unto you that you sin not. John made it clear that we don't have to sin. The secret to victory is walking in the light, being open and honest, and be sincere. That word sincere comes from two Latin words. It's sincera. And sincera was sculptors. There were a lot of sculptors in those days in that time period or economy. And the bad sculptors, what they would do every now and then, they'd make a mistake. You know, can you imagine chopping away? You're chiseling away at one of them sculptors and you got the thing almost done and they made a wrong strike and they knocked a chunk out they didn't want to knock out. You know what they do? The shady ones, the dishonest ones would take wax and they would get a little marble powder and they'd put in with the wax and they'd fill in the crack, they'd fill in the mistake. And they could get it and they could polish that thing and you couldn't tell it until you stuck it out in the sunlight for a little while. And the sun shined on it, and guess what? All the wax melted out. And so the honest sculptors would advertise that their sculptures were sincera. Sincere. That means they were the real thing. They weren't covered up mistakes, glossed over with some wax filling in the crack. Walking in the light means being honest with others, being honest with yourself, being honest with God. And also being obedient to God's Word. Obedience to God's Word is proof of our love for Him. There's three motives for obedience. You can obey because you have to, obey because you need to, or obey because you want to. And I'm telling you from experience, obeying because you want to is a lot better than need to and have to. A slave obeys because he has to. An employee obeys because he needs to, needs the money. A Christian obeys because he wants to or because he loves God. And so for the relationship between him and God is to be right, it's one of love. One of the proofs that we have love for God is can seen in the way we treat each other. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 says, He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so, see, if we don't love our brother, you can't say you love God and hate your brother. If love for each other is the manifest difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. Let me read you this last little thing I wrote down here, and I'll be done. So you can don't have to panic. There was a church that chose for its theme 40 Days of Love. And what they were going to do was they were going to show, they wanted to do things to show the others how they loved each other. And so they decided that this one week that everybody was to write a note to someone or different or many, many ones, whoever, write a little note to that person to tell that person what kind of an impact, hopefully a positive one, what kind of an impact they had on their life, a positive contribution to their life. Well, there was this one guy in the church. He was one of them big macho guys, football player, rough and tough guy. And he went to the pastor after they announced what they were going to do. And he said, look, pastor, he said, I love you. I love the church. He said, but I'm not participating in this 40 days of love stuff. He said, man, it's just too, you know, kind of syrupy or whatever you want to call it. Well, the following week came around and that guy came back to the pastor and he said, pastor, he said, I made a mistake. He said, I made a mistake. He said, I changed. He said, about that. And the pastor said, what happened? He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, I got one of them letters. He said, that letter, he said, it so affected me. He said, I've got it in my pocket. He said, somebody wrote it to me of somebody I didn't expect. I never would expect they wrote it to me. He said, it meant so much. He said, I cry every time I read it. He said, I got it right here. He said, it transformed me so much, I sat down and wrote 10 letters myself. Wrote 10 letters to 10 other people in the church. Love for the brothers, that's evidence. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot walk in the light, and you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and not love people. Even the lost, lost people. We definitely got love for one another. We can even love our enemies. Jesus did. Jesus died for us, and while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He didn't wait for us to become little good little Christianettes and then die for us. No, He loved us while we were yet sinners. Be honest with God, be honest with yourself, confess your sin, walk in the light. I'm going to tell you something, it'll transform your life. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.